the latest from the WFAS Weather Center. The following is a paid program. The opinions expressed are solely those of the sponsor and not necessarily those of WFAS or its advertisers.
Peace of mind with Lippman Cooks.
Welcome to Peace of Mind with Bernie the Attorney. I'm your host, Bernie Crooks from the law firm Lippman Crooks. We're based right here in White Plains, and we've also got offices in Fishkill and Manhattan, right downtown in New York City. And we're heard each week right here on WFAS AM 1230 on Thursday evening from 6:05 to 6:35 p.m. And tonight, our guest is Matthew Faulkner from the Westchester County Department Community of Mental Health. Welcome, Matt.
Welcome.
Can I call you Matt?
Of course, yes.
And is it the Westchester County Department Community of Mental Health?
Westchester Department of Community Mental Health.
Mental Health. All right, so I guess the obvious question is, what is the Department of Community Mental Health?
Well, the department provides care and planning and oversight and coordination of services for individuals with mental illness, developmental disabilities, and substance abuse disorders. But I primarily work in the unit for people with developmental disabilities.
So how do they identify individuals who are candidates for services?
Well, usually they are, you know, my role is to be a liaison between my office, the state, which provides office, which is OMRDD, the Office of Mental Retardation and Developmental Disabilities, which provides services and supports to people with developmental disabilities, the Westchester school system, and agencies that provide adult services to people with developmental disabilities. But basically, they follow a criteria.
Do people come knocking on the door? Do they go seek out people? How do people and you get connected?
Oh, we get connected by, we get people registering with our office.
And they register because they found out about it how?
Through, the school systems, through, parents who have children with developmental disabilities. And that's the way that we, identify students and people with developmental disabilities.
Right. So give us an example of a child is in the school system, in the public school system, and would he necessarily have to have a mental health issue or just some type of developmental disability?
Developmental disability. That would be, mental retardation, epilepsy, cerebral palsy, autism, neurological impairments.
Any or all of the above?
Right.
Okay,
right.
So who identifies? Is it the teacher, the special ed teacher?
Right. Psychologists as well as special education teacher. They would be in special education classes.
So they would be in whether it's a segregated class or mainstream, they would be in some type of special ed program.
Exactly.
And then who would contact your office? Is it the teacher? Is it the parent? Is it some administrator?
Yeah, I work closely with the schools, so it would be, people working in the schools like transition coordinators or special education teachers, psychologists, social workers, but also families themselves. They would, contact us. And one of the things that, they need to do in order to receive services is to apply for eligibility. And that is one of the biggest roles that we have, that, students register with our office and then we apply and assist with the eligibility process. And so there's certain criteria that OMRDD follows in order to determine whether one has a developmental disability.
All right, so you're bound by those criteria?
Yes, yes. It's, you know, based, it's a legal basis based on New York State mental hygiene law, which states that a developmental disability is attributable to one of those, mental retardation, epilepsy, cerebral palsy, autism, neurological impairments. It must have occurred before the age of 22. It's expected to last indefinitely, and it constitutes a substantial handicap to one's functioning.
So does every child who's under the age of 22 who has one of these developmental disabilities get referred to your office?
Yes, they could be, yes.
But why? But some of them are not?
It depends, you know, whether, you know, some may be duly diagnosed and may fit into more of another system.
When you say
system.
Duly diagnosed, they may have seizures and...
Duly diagnosed, meaning they may have, you know, psychiatric issues as well, and that they may fit into another system of care also.
Okay, so
but their primary diagnosis has to be a developmental disability.
Okay, so if the primary diagnosis is a developmental disability, somehow you'll get a referral either from the parent or the school district to your office.
Exactly. Referrals come through registrations that we receive. You know, they need to register with us in order for us to apply for eligibility. We're kind of the Westchester Office of Community Mental Health is kind of the single point of entry where with the registration, you know, we assist in the process of applying for eligibility for them.
And does the
without a registration, we can't do that. So because part of the registration is a consent form from the parent, you know, that allows us to ask the school district for documentation that would be needed in order for the state to determine whether one has a developmental disability. So they need to go through that process, and we assist with that. Our role is to assist with the process. We don't make determinations whether one has a developmental disability. The state does, which is the Office of Mental Retardation and Developmental Disabilities. We just assist with the process.
So the first step is registration.
Exactly.
Okay, and do you register online? Do you make a phone call? How do you register?
The school systems are aware of our process, so we have, you know, distributed registrations to the schools. You know, families get the registrations, they send them in, or the schools send them in to us. And so that's how we get the names of individuals. And then we would, apply for eligibility for them.
Now, not all individuals who register get benefits, right?
Some may not become eligible
because
for services, whether they don't meet all of the criteria. Perhaps they're higher functioning cognitively, some of their functional skills are higher than meets the criteria.
So they wouldn't get denied based on a financial criteria?
No, they won't.
Okay, so the only reason why somebody wouldn't be entitled to services is they're not disabled enough, in effect, to qualify.
Exactly, yeah. They're higher functioning, and they could probably be more independent.
All right, so let's assume they qualify. What types of things would they be able to take advantage of? Just give me an example of some of the things that – some of the benefits they'd be entitled to.
Right. Some of the adult programs would be – like a day program, you know, once they transition out of the school system.
You say adult, you mean someone over 18 or 21?
Someone would be aging out of the school system at 21.
Okay.
And they would need an adult program. One possible program would be a dehabilitation program, they call it. Basically, it's like a 9-to-3 school program in which you know, it's fully supervised. The student has the opportunity for communal participation, mainly through volunteer work, opportunities for social and recreational activities, And, you know, if they receive enough skills, perhaps they can move from that to employment. And there are many different kinds of focuses to day hemp programs. Some, the focus is serving individuals on the autistic spectrum. Some, they vary in size and location in Westchester County. You know, others serve individuals more with behavioral issues or medically fragile individuals. So there are various types and focuses to DAHAB programs. And there are even two types of DAHAB programs. One is a more site-based, where an individual comes to the particular site and, you know, will participate in the activities, but will go out into the community and come back to the site. Others are more community-based, or they call them without walls, where they're basically out in the community all day, you know, doing either volunteer work or participating in some kinds of social and recreational activities. So that's, you know, possibly one program that is a service that OMRDD provides. You know, so, you know, there are many other services, but, you know, definitely that would be one.
Do you assist with the transition to employment if the person is able to get a job?
Well, I would refer them. They need to be referred to VESID, which is the Vocational Educational Services for Individuals with Disabilities. Anyone who's interested in employment needs to go through them, and they would perhaps do some you know, vocational assessments to see their interest and skill levels, and then be perhaps referred to agencies that provide supported employment. Perhaps they can work, you know, but they need supports. You know, so, you know, anyone inclined to vocational issues would go through the agency, which is known as VESID.
And they're a separate county agency, right?
Yes, they're separate, yeah.
Mm-hmm. To take advantage of these services, you have to be a resident, or the child has to be a resident or adult of Westchester County?
Yes. You know, in order for us to assist them, you know, they need to be Westchester resident.
At the time that you provide the service?
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm.
And it, so it's, it really doesn't matter where the parents live. It matters where the child is residing.
Exactly, yes.
I'm Bernie Crooks, host of Peace of Mind with Bernie the Attorney. Our guest this week is Matthew Faulkner from the Westchester County Department of Community and Mental Health. And we'll be right back after we take a short break.
Every parent worries about their kids. Unfortunately, when you have a child with disabilities, the worries are much greater.
Here's Bernie Crooks from the law firm of Lippman Crooks.
Amy and Bruce had been talking about going to a lawyer to help them ever since Charlie was born. Charlie has cerebral palsy.
The experts at Lippman Crooks helped Amy and Bruce set up a special needs trust to provide for Charlie's medical and financial needs for today and for the future.
The rules are very complex. You truly do need an expert to help you navigate through all the federal and state regulations to make sure that your child gets the benefits he or she is entitled to.
Do you have a child with special needs? Call the law offices of Lippman Crooks.
We don't know what the future holds for Amy, Bruce, or their son Charlie, but what Amy and Bruce do know is that they've done everything in their power to ensure that Charlie has the best quality of life possible when Amy and Bruce are here and when they're not here.
Peace of mind.
Lippman Crooks in White Plains, Manhattan, and Fishkill, or at LippmanCrooks.com.
Welcome back to Peace of Mind with Bernie the Attorney. I'm your host, Bernie Crooks from the law firm Lippman Crooks. You can visit us online at LippmanCrooks.com, and we're heard right here on WFAS AM 1230 every Thursday evening from 6:05 to 6:35 p.m. And before we get back to our guest, Matt Faulkner, I want to say a special hello to my son, Max, who's been a little bit under the weather the last couple of days. Hope you're feeling better. Okay, Matt, let's talk about some of the other services. How about the Medicaid coordination services? What are those all about?
Yeah, one of the services that I always tell parents or encourage parents to access first, if they have OMRDD eligibility as well as Medicaid, is a Medicaid service coordinator. That particular individual is a trained professional. They can navigate the system and find the most appropriate services for the individual. And they write up what is called an ISP, which is individual service plan for each of the consumers on their caseload. And they review that plan every 6 months with a team that's involved in all of the services for the individual. Medicaid service coordinators are very important people, and I actually was a Medicaid service coordinator previous to this job, and it's tough work, and it's basically to serve the individual and to provide and coordinate services for the individual, I think that, and I want to give a plug to all the Medicaid service coordinators in my own office, as well as those who do more intensive case management, about the hard work that they do, and they're very dedicated to serving the individuals on their caseloads. And they usually have about, depending whether they're full-time or part-time Medicaid service coordinators, 25 individuals on their caseloads. That's a lot of individuals, and especially when you're trying to find the most appropriate services that they need out in the community, and hooking them up with, community contacts, that are going to be able to assist them as well. I think they do a good job. They do a good job.
So each person who registers for the program and becomes eligible for services gets assigned to a Medicaid service coordinator?
No. They need to have Medicaid.
Okay, so some parents, people who are on the program are not on Medicaid.
Right. Parents need to be aware that they must apply for public benefits, Medicaid. And part of the job that I do providing information and resources is to parents is how to access these public benefits. For one example would be, how to go about getting Medicaid. And so they do need to have Medicaid because Medicaid pays for the service. So that is, if they have the OMRDD eligibility and Medicaid, I tell parents, get the Medicaid service coordinator. And not-for-profit agencies as well as the state has Medicaid service coordinators, and there is a list of providers, and parents are asked to call the state office, our local, they call it DDSO office, which is in Tarrytown, which is DDSO is an acronym for Developmental Disabilities Service Office, and they can provide them with a list of agencies that provide that service. And parents would need, again, to be good advocates, call the various agencies that have openings and find a Medicaid service coordinator that way.
So the Medicaid service coordinator doesn't actually assist the family with the application for Medicaid. That's something you do?
I don't assist them with it, but I tell them that Medicaid is the primary payment for a lot of the services that, the individuals may receive. So they need to do that on their own. But I can give them the information of how to do it, where, if someone is 18 years old, a way of getting Medicaid is by, applying for SSI, which is Supplemental Security Income, through their local Social Security office. Eligibility for SSI is based on not on the parents' income but the students'. And it's also based upon the effect that their disability has on their employability or their work. So many are eligible to receive SSI benefits, and then Medicaid automatically comes with receiving SSI benefits.
Now, not everybody who has Medicaid has SSI, but if you have SSI, you automatically get Medicaid, right?
Definitely, yeah.
Okay, and to get Medicaid, you can't have a lot of money, right? You really have to be poor.
No, not necessarily. If you have Medicaid when you're younger, usually families, that have Medicaid when a child is younger is because, that they may be low income and get Medicaid through the Department of Social Services. But when the student is 18, they can apply for supplemental security income and get Medicaid that way. And it's based on the student's income, not the parents.
So there's no deeming after 18.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So there are also waivered programs, right, where the child can get Medicaid irrespective of the parent's net worth.
Right. Yes.
Now, these programs, once you get the Medicaid, what exactly does the service coordinator do? Because it sounds like that's the key to the whole deal, having a good service coordinator.
Right. It is. They are able to navigate the system. They are able to find the services that the individual may need. They're able to apply, for a waiver service that the individual may need. They write up plans. They visit the individual on a monthly basis, whether that's in their day program or in the school in which they attend. And they visit in their home every 3 months, whether they live with their families or in a group home. So there is a constant relationship that develops between the Medicaid service coordinator and the individuals and the families as well. Medicaid service coordinators really assist.
Now, is this something families. That's required by Medicaid or just offered and you have the option of taking a service coordinator?
You certainly can have the option of choosing a Medicaid service coordinator, but it's not a requirement, but it's encouraged to have one, because they really do assist the individual and their families.
And once you have one, that's your coordinator for as long as you're on Medicaid, or you switch every year?
No. If you don't like or for some reason the Medicaid service coordinator that you have, you can switch. There's nothing set in stone that once you have a Medicaid service coordinator, they're the coordinator that, that you'll have for your life, but you can change and choose service coordinators.
Okay, and they're going to coordinate services that are provided by Medicaid, right? They're not going to help you with outside services, are they?
Outside services meaning?
Things that are not paid for by Medicaid.
Right, yeah. Yeah, they're going to be actually, finding them services that are appropriate to...
Within the Medicaid program.
Yes.
I'm Bernie Crooks, host of Peace of Mind with Bernie the Attorney. I'm speaking with Matt Faulkner from the Westchester County Department of Community Mental Health. And we're going to take a short break and we'll be right back.
Sooner or later, disability or illness strikes every family. And unfortunately, that's not the time to do the planning. The best time is in advance, before a crisis strikes.
Bernie Crooks from the law firm of Lippman Crooks.
Susan, Vincent and Sheila's oldest daughter, had called us because one of her friend's parents recently had been diagnosed with Alzheimer's and their financial affairs were a mess. They had not done any advance planning.
Susan didn't want that to happen to her parents. The caring professionals at Lippman Crooks helped her design a comprehensive plan that provided for long-term care while protecting her parents' hard-earned assets.
Susan and her siblings now have the peace of mind of knowing that their parents can go on with the rest of their lives without having to worry about what would happen if one of them became sick or disabled.
Your parents had big plans for you. Make sure you have one for them. Call the law offices of Littman Crooks in White Plains and Manhattan.
Peace of mind with Littman.
Call 914-684-2100.
Also located in Fishkill.
Welcome back to Peace of Mind with Bernie the Attorney. I'm Bernie Crooks, the host of the show from the law firm Littman Crooks. As you know, our firm specializes in elder care, estate planning, and special needs planning and special education advocacy. Our guest this week is Matt Faulkner from the Westchester County Department of Community Health. And we've been talking a lot, Matt, during the show about the agency, what it does, what types of families it serves. But let's focus a little bit on what your role is with the agency.
Right. It's to be a liaison between my office, the state office, the school system in Westchester County, and agencies that provide adult services for people with developmental disabilities. Basically, my office will assist with the process of applying for eligibility. And if a person does become eligible and been determined that they have a developmental disability, I will provide information and resources to parents on the services that they could access, kind of a general timeline of things that they should be considering, such as guardianship, special needs trusts, special needs estate planning, that your law firm as well as other law firms in Westchester County can provide. So I can provide them with that, list of agencies that would assist them with those issues. Provide them parents with lists of, as we were speaking before, day habilitation programs in Westchester County. I know the agencies. I know the services they provide. There are 14 of them around the county, and they each have different focuses. And I can make referrals to parents to agencies that provide that service. And another important part of my job responsibility is to provide to the state the number of students who are aging out of the school system this year as well as for future years. And the purpose of doing that is so that they can have and plan and prepare for enough funding and services that individuals may need when they come out of the school system. So that is a very important piece of my responsibility.
I'm Bernie Crooks, host of Peace of Mind with Bernie the Attorney. We'll take a short break and we'll be right back to wrap up with Matt Faulkner.
Unexpected medical crises can turn lives upside down. Here's Bernie Crooks from the law firm of Littman Crooks.
Barbara called. I could tell something was wrong. She was calling from the hospital. Her husband had a stroke. Harry was going to need care in a long-term facility, perhaps for the rest of his life.
Barbara couldn't find the necessary documents.
Unfortunately, this is all too common. One spouse gets sick and the other spouse has absolutely no idea where the financial records are.
Harry quickly got the care he needed. In addition to helping Barbara gather and submit the appropriate paperwork, the experts at Littman Crooks also helped access government-financed health care to help pay Harry's medical bills.
Although we can't help Harry get better, Barbara has the peace of mind of knowing their hard-earned family assets will be available to help pay for Barbara's care in the future and to pass on to their children and grandchildren and not be eaten away by the cost of Harry's long-term care.
When a medical crisis strikes, call the law offices of Littman Crooks in White Plains and Manhattan.
Peace of mind with Littman Crooks.
Call 914-684-2100.
Also located in Fishkill.
Welcome back to the show. I'm Bernie Crooks, and I'm speaking with Matt Faulkner from the Westchester County Department of Community Mental Health. And Matt, just in the last minute or so, tell us how we can get in touch with you, how people can learn more about the agency.
The best way is to go to the website, and our website address is westchestergov.com/mentalhealth. And my phone number is 914-995-5253. And I can hook you up to other people in my unit for other services. And then I think it's very important to also mention the OMRDD, which is the state office's website. Their website is www.omr.state.ny.us. And OMRDD also has a toll-free information line, which is not, I repeat, not a crisis or emergency line, but can be utilized for parents or families or for anyone to call about services and supports that OMRDD provides.
Want to give us that number?
Sure. Their phone number is 866-946-9733.
Matt, I really appreciate you taking the time to be on the show tonight.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
My pleasure. That's Matt Faulkner from the Westchester County Department of Community Mental Health. I'm Bernie Crooks, host of Peace of Mind with Bernie the Attorney. We'll see everyone next week. Good night.
The soundtrack for your day. Westchester's soft favorites, AM 1230.
WFAA.
You can't help singing.